Hello, this is Pastor Galen from Chicago First Church, and welcome to our podcast. Before we hear the message today, I simply want to say that no matter where you're listening from, we're glad that you're here. We hope that the message will inspire you, instruct you, and help you grow in your relationship with Jesus. If you live in the Chicago area, maybe this podcast could be your first step to joining us at C1 in person sometime, or in our online community that meets every Sunday at c1naz.org/live. Well, thanks again for joining us today. We hope you enjoy the message, and more importantly, we pray that you would experience God and that you're encouraged today.
Let's pray together. Father, I verbalize the pictures that we have just sung to you, not to each other. We've sung them to you, a picture of running to you in worship, crying out your name, Jesus, running into your arms. And for this day, that's a position that I long that we would all take wherever we are, worshiping with you, with this body today, that we would run into your arms with the needs of our life, with the joys of our life, and with the people in our life that we're lifting to you, people who need to be placed in your arms for their care and for your love and for your grace being poured out in their lives. Father, we run to your arms today. But the second picture we sang was of you running to us and sending your son who was born in a cradle and lived a life and gave his life and was risen again. Father, it is that power that we claim today for your work in our life, for your work in this church, for your work in our nation, in our world. May we depend on the power of you, your spirit working in us, rather than the power that we find within ourselves. Father, we run to your arms today with who we are, with the needs of our life, the needs of our world, and we cry out your name, Jesus, for you alone are worthy. Amen. You may be seated.
Every once in a while, we need to be reminded that control, our control of things going on around us, is most often an illusion. We don't control near as much as we think we do. God in his sovereignty has given us the ability to make choices, and those choices have consequences, and often we make good choices and they're very, very good consequences, and we can build towards something, but make no mistake about it, we're not in control. You and I are sitting on a blue ball that is traveling 25,000 miles an hour around the sun and spinning at 1,000 miles an hour. Our ability to control things is limited. If you've raised kids, you know that's true. They will make their own decisions. If you've ever been in leadership or if you've run a company, you know that customers make their own choices. The boss makes his own choice. We think that everything is in control, and we talk about having control, but the reality is that we are in a position and a place where there's an awful lot that we don't control. I would compare it something like this. So this is the world's largest roller coaster. It was when this video was shot. And you can choose. You get to choose. You have the power to wake up one morning and say, I'm going to go to the theme park. And you buy your ticket and you wait in line and you get into the little car. You have control over all that. You strap yourself in, and when they come by and check to see if everything's there, you can give them a thumbs up and the ride begins. And even as it is ascending, you have a certain amount of control, keeping your hands in, but there's a moment when everything changes. Now listen to this.
Get your hands to the side.
Go.
I don't know if you could hear it, but the gentleman says, okay, go, like he has any control over what's about to happen. Like if he said, stop, it would stop. Oh, no. And life's like that. Some of you have walked up to the doctor's office and heard that click sound, where it's like, oh, man, this is going to be a ride. This is going to be an issue. There's all kinds of places and times that that comes in. And on the eve of a very, very important week in our country, there's going to be at least one group that's going to be pretty disappointed in a few days about control, or sometime around Easter next year when we figure it out. But it's an issue of control. The reality is there's so much we don't control. There's so much around us. Once we're on, once we're moving, it's just going to go where it goes. And we're going to have to learn how to go through the darkness and deal with the corners and deal with everything that comes on this journey. And it can make us feel powerless. Powerless because there's things that are going to happen that we may or may not approve of. Powerless because here's a thought. Whoever wins this week, we're going to do this all again. It's just going to keep coming around. Let me bring it into a different context. If you're dealing with a problem, and if you've ever dealt with like a major issue, and then the issue's over, and you're like, oh, man, I'm so glad that's over, then another one comes. Because we live in a world that is continually changing. And you can get everything the way you want it. You can get, there'll be moments in life where everybody in your family is where they're supposed to be, where it's all good, but that doesn't continue exactly the same way. The first poem that I memorized, I don't even remember intentionally memorizing it, but I was in a high school poetry class. I don't know why, but I wound up there. And I discovered Robert Frost. And there was a poem that I just learned and I've remembered my whole life. And it's a junior, senior in high school. Nature's first green is gold, but it's her hardest hue to hold. Her early leaf is a flower, but only so an hour. Then leaf gives way to leaf, so Eden sank to grief. And dawn goes down today. Nothing gold can stay. God bless you. You're dismissed. Have a great week, right? That's a wonderful thing to capture before you. But it's just a reality. And sometimes it leaves us to wonder, are we really just part of the particles coming and going on this planet? I mean, is all of this, is there anything that is enduring? Is there anything that we can anchor to that will not change? The good news I bring you today, from the kingdom of God, from the empowered and empowering kingdom of God, is that there is. Psalm 93. Theologians talk about what exactly the purpose of this psalm was, but I like one particular take on it. It said this is an enthronement psalm. This is a psalm that in the fall festivals of Jerusalem, as they begin to prepare, this was one of the important psalms. They said, we're just going to establish this right now. And I came to this place today to establish some things. So consider Psalm 93. The Lord is king. He is robed in majesty. Indeed, the Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. Your throne, O Lord, has stood from time immemorial. You yourself are from the everlasting past. The floods have risen up, O Lord. The floods have roared like thunder. The floods have lifted their pounding waves, but mightier than the violent raging of the seas, mightier than the breakers on the shore, the Lord above is mightier than these. And if you want a thought to just begin to capture and take with you, think of that phrase, mightier than these is a good one to use. Your royal laws cannot be changed. Your reign, O Lord, is holy forever and ever. In the midst of a world that is continually changing, we serve a Savior who doesn't. Now, he's always changing us. He's always working with us. He's always modifying us and bringing us along. But we serve Jesus who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There is a king and a kingdom that endures. I'm blessed and I'm always humbled. Every time I approach moments where I'm going to be preaching, moments of sacred, I will stand in front of an audience this next week along with a young man and a young lady who are getting married, and one of them happens to be mine. But that's sacred. It's humbling when I think about how all of that is part of this kingdom, this incredible kingdom, handling the word of God that has endured when everything on earth determined that they were going to get rid of it. Here it is, enduring. It's humbling to be part of the kingdom that endures. And here's the thing, folks. In an age of uncertainty and difficulty, You were designed to be part of this great enduring kingdom. You were meant for it. It was created and designed and put together with you in mind. If you've ever wondered why sometimes here on earth, as you walk through life, things don't fit. Things just aren't right. Something's wrong. It's because you were not designed to live here. You were designed to be part of the kingdom of God, to walk in fellowship with God. But because Eden sank to grief, we've been separated. But that didn't stop the kingdom. And it didn't stop the king from bringing his kingdom. You were designed to be part of the kingdom. You were wired to be part of the kingdom. There are parts of you that you will never know and fully understand until you connect with the kingdom of God. So it's a good moment as we head into this next week and we kind of round out this series entitled Empowered to remind ourselves that our power comes from this great enduring kingdom, and every single one of us has been invited to step into it. So the question is, are you? Have you connected? Are you functioning as part of the kingdom of God? Have you walked through the doorway to new life? Are you part of the kingdom? Being born here doesn't make me part of the kingdom. The kingdom is all around me. But we landed on this planet as part of the kingdom of earth, and we know that, and we live in that, and we see that Jesus came to give us an alternative, because someday the earth kingdom will no longer be, and it will be the kingdom of God. And we have been invited today. So it's a simple question. It's a good one for believers to remind themselves of. And it's an especially good one for those who are searching for something that's enduring. For those who have put their heart and their faith and trust in one thing after another, like all of us have at some point in time, and been disappointed. The reason that people disappoint you is not necessarily because they're bad, it's because they're human and they make mistakes. But God offers us an enduring kingdom that is meant to house our faith. So are you? From John chapter 3, there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God." You know, it's an interesting thing, because there was too much of Jesus that he recognized. He could not just dismiss him. And I'm going to tell you something, the same thing is true in 2020. More than 2,000 years after Jesus was here in the flesh, more than 2,000 years after these miracles, we are surrounded by things with his fingerprints on them. Hospitals came about because of the Christian attitude towards the sick. Everything from dealing with families and dealing with children and the place of woman in culture, all of those things are represent what Jesus, the arts and the sciences, all of those things came. There is too much of Jesus to be ignored. And so Nicodemus says, I want to learn more. No one could perform the signs you're doing if God were not with him. Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are," and here's the phrase, "born again." A literal translation is born from above. Something different happened. There was something that happens to an individual that's not part of the earthly kingdom. Part of what God has planned and designed. And Nicodemus said, "How can someone be born when they're old? Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus said, "Not truly, I tell you, that no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit." It's a powerful thing, because all of us have things in our past that we wish, if we could go back, we'd change them. We'd do them differently. We wish we could, and we can't. So God says, why don't we just be born again in the Spirit, and I'll redeem all of that past. I'll redeem it. I'll bring it forward. I'll do something beautiful out of what has been ugly. This is John chapter 3. When you think of John chapter 3, you normally think of John 3:16. But this is what precedes it. And so when we get to 3:16, "For this is how God loved the world, he gave his one and only Son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." And there we have the doorway to the kingdom. the kingdom that is all around us. It's a conscious decision that we make because God gave us the ability to choose, to place our trust and to place our belief in him. It goes on to say, God sent his son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. There is no judgment against anyone who believes in him, but anyone who does not believe in him has already been judged for not believing in the God's one and only son. There are consequences to this decision. But it is ever before us. If not, if you haven't, ask Christ to be your king. If you haven't stepped off of the throne of your own heart and life and said, Lord, I want your enduring kingdom, what are you waiting for? Years ago, when I was pastoring in Elgin, it was a Sunday night service, and there were a couple guys that showed up before church, and they were probably in their early 20s, and they were almost sober, okay? They weren't totally sober. They were almost sober. They were. It was cold, and we had a sign that said coffee, and they came in, and we're like, hey, we need someplace warm. We want some coffee. Is that okay? And I'm like, sure. And so we began to talk a little bit, and kind of took to each other, and they stayed for church and sat in the back row, and they didn't disrupt anything, but you could tell they were just enjoying the coffee and the warmth. Afterward, I took them to get something to eat, and we were sitting at a restaurant, and I just began to talk to them. I said, guys, so what are you doing? Well, we live down under the bridge right now. And I'm like, what? Man, you don't have to do that. There is another way to live. And some of you who are watching this, you're not physically living down under a bridge, but that's where your heart is. That's where your emotions are. That's where your mind is. And I said, I can make a phone call. There's different places around that we can get you in and help. And one of the young men put his hand up to me, and he said, Pastor, I hear you, but that's not me. I'm not doing that. And then he turned to his buddy, and he said, but you've got a wife, and you've got kids, and you should go. And the other fella kind of was taken back a little bit, and he goes, well, yeah, and I will. And his buddy goes, when? And he goes, I don't know, but I will. I've got some stuff I need to do. He said, what do you have back under that bridge? And then he started laughing. Oh, yeah, those trash bags that we're carrying around our stuff in, you wouldn't want to lose those. You know, those partial cigarettes that we picked up, you wouldn't want to lose those. His buddy's just like, give me a break. We talked, but at the end of the day, I dropped him off at the bridge. Why? Why would we ever give up the enduring kingdom for a temporary one that will not satisfy your enduring spirit? And Pastor Galen just hit this out of the park the first Sunday of this series when he talked about the fact that God has created you. You have been put together with eternity in the human heart. That's why you can hope against hope. That's why you're capable of believing things. And before they come, you can see it, you feel it, you know it. There's a longing in you. All of that is because God has placed that in your heart. But it doesn't activate until you're part of the enduring kingdom. Why would we ever trade the kingdom of God that is enduring for a temporary one that will not ultimately satisfy our spirit? Or maybe when I ask the question, are you part of the kingdom? You said yes, which I would have said. But then I felt like as I wrote that, I felt like the Lord said, really? What's that like, Brian? What's it like to be part of that kingdom? How is your life different than those around you who have not made the same choice? And it's a good question because sometimes we have accepted Christ and we've been born again, which are Jesus' words, by the way, the words of Christ, not some preacher, these are the words, born again, this moment when we ask Christ to forgive us, and he does. But we get confused. Like the Apostle Paul talks about in 2 Timothy, he said sometimes soldiers get involved in civilian affairs at a too high a level and they forget, in his words from the New Living Testament, who recruited them. We begin to doubt and we fail to believe. We begin to take on the culture that's around us. What's it like to be part of the enduring kingdom? Man, what a kingdom. Can we be reminded this Sunday, November 1st, that this kingdom is from time immemorial, that this kingdom cannot be shaken? Can we be reminded as followers of Jesus that we don't have to win when we're part of the kingdom, that we don't have to be first, that we don't have to have our way, that we can be who we are and not continually try to be somebody else because the Lord is King. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and armed with strength. The world stands firm and cannot be shaken. I've traveled out of the country a few times, and one of the things I've always been cognizant of, and it always was on a mission trip or something like that, and so we were going to places that sometimes were a little bit dangerous, overly dangerous, but there was a little bit there, and I've always been comforted when I traveled like that because I was a citizen of the United States, and I knew that while identifying myself as that wouldn't always make me somebody's friend, that if I got in trouble, that there was someone who would come looking for me. We had a story that just broke yesterday of a missionary in Nigeria who was running a farm and trying to help people dig wells and plant farms and raise cattle and all of that. About 4 or 5 days ago, he was kidnapped and held for ransom. And of course, we don't pay ransom normally. And yesterday sometime, SEAL Team 6 found him and brought him out because he was a citizen of a country that went looking for him. And I'm grateful for our military. I'm grateful for all that. But it pales in comparison to the hosts of heaven. And things don't always work out the way that we should, but the kingdom endures. I've said goodbye to some folks over the last few years. My mother passed. I've shared this a couple weeks ago in terms of feeling helpless and unempowered. But when we talk about people who have gone to heaven, we don't talk about we lost so-and-so. We didn't lose them. We know exactly where they are. They're with Jesus because it's an enduring kingdom. May God help us to live like that, like his throne is established. May we remember that whatever the waves do, we serve the Lord who is mightier than these. Think mightier than these. Psalm 27 is one of my favorite psalms. And most think it's a psalm of David. And it was written at a time of particular difficulty. They believe, or at least some of the writers believe, that he was on the run. Saul was trying to kill him. And he had gathered a few folks around him. And he was trying to find a way through. It was a dark time. And it starts out with, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid?" And one writer I read years ago said, picture David with a few straggling folks who are around him, who he's counting on to help him figure all this out and go forward. And picture them hiding somewhere in a cave, and there's a little fire there, and he pulls them together and says, "Hey, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Why should I be afraid? The Lord is my fortress." And then can you imagine if you were part of that group that said, "Okay, I'm gonna go with you, David." And he says, "When evil people come to devour me," and I would have been in a crowd going, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. Evil people are coming. I didn't sign up for that. When my enemies and foes attack me," you mean if your enemies and foes? No. "When? Though a mighty army surrounds me," I'd have been the guy going, "Whoa, wait," right? Notice, "though a mighty army." "The one thing I ask the Lord is to live in the house of the Lord all my days. I want to get back to Jerusalem." I'd have been in the crowd going, "We can't get to Jerusalem. Even if my father and mother abandon me." Wait, what? That could happen? Yeah, that could happen. And then just picture that they're around this campfire, and David lays all this out, mighty armies, this and this and this, and then says this, "I remain confident that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." You have that kind of faith in the darkest moments of life, you get people's attention. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. Mightier than these. You can be, and many of you are, part of an enduring kingdom. Don't let that shake you this week, regardless of what happens. A couple weeks ago, I had a friend contact me that I hadn't talked to in a long time. And we texted back and forth and then spoke on the phone, and he reminded me of a story. They were part of our church, actually, in Elgin. And Mike and Teresa were a young married couple, and they were they loved the Lord and were active in church, and they were just starting out. Teresa was a school teacher, and they were wanting to start a family, and it didn't happen. And it began to feel like there were some medical issues that were involved, and they found some, and they tried some different things, and it didn't work. And time began to roll on until finally that one of the physicians had said, we need to do this surgery, and it's a relatively serious surgery, and any surgery is serious if it happens to me. But there's, you know, you need to think about it, and if you want to do it, we can do it, and it might work. So she elected to have the surgery. And I talked to her early in the week, and Teresa is just one of the most loving, humble young people I've ever met, but certainly a young woman. And she said, you know, Pastor, I prayed, I've been talking to God, and God gave me a verse of scripture. And he gave me a song. And the verse of scripture is from Matthew. Not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the essence of it is Jesus is telling his disciples, look, God's got the sparrows. And if he's got the sparrows, he's got you. And whatever happens, I mean, he'll be there. And she said it reminded me of a song, and some of you will know the song. It's an old song. It was written in 1905. It's an older hymn of the church called His Eye is on the Sparrow. And it's been recorded, I mean, a Latina pop group made up of two sisters, Hannah and Ashley. I listened to a recording they just did, just not very long ago, of it. It's been sung by everybody, Ella Fitzgerald, all kinds of people over the years. And so it was her song. And so the surgery happened. I get a call early in the afternoon. Pastor, could you come to the hospital? I said, Mike, what's going on? Was the surgery, you know, it was okay. We won't know for a long time whether or not it's going to actually help, but could you come to the hospital? Come on out, Phil. And so I went up to the hospital, and I went in to see her, and she said, Pastor, I got to tell you what happened. She said, I was going into surgery, and I'm laying there, and I got my verse, and I got my song, and I'm kind of mouthing my song. And beside me, leaning over me, was this big guy. He was from the Philippines, and he's an anesthesiologist. And he looked at me, and he saw my lips moving, and he pulled his mask back and pulled mine back and said, are you okay? She said, yeah. He goes, well, were you talking to me? He said, no. She said, no. I was kind of praying and singing. And he said, well, I like to sing. What kind of song was it? And she told him the song. And he said, I know that song. I lead worship at my church. Can I sing with you? She began to cry and said, absolutely. And so he did, and it sounded something like this.
Why should I feel discouraged? Why should the shadows come? Why should my heart feel lonely and long for heaven and home? When Jesus is my portion, a constant friend is he. For his eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches.
Filled the operating room. And she probably didn't get to hear the second verse, but I want Phil to sing it anyway. Go ahead.
Let not your heart be troubled.
She's drifting off to sleep.
His tender word I hear, and resting on his goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path he leadeth, but one step I may see. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know he watches me.
And as I stood there and she was telling me this story, still a little bit groggy from everything, she said, and then, Pastor, I woke up in the recovery room, and at the end of my bed was this picture. Wow, what a kingdom, what a king. Big enough to rule the world, you bet. Big enough, his kingdom is large enough that he could bring an anesthesiologist from the Philippines to sing Teresa to sleep. 2 weeks ago when we made contact, Mike sent me a picture. That's him on the left, or him on the right, his wife Teresa on the left, and Sophia, their daughter, who's a sophomore in college, in the middle. Whew, man, what a kingdom. What an enduring kingdom. If you're not in, if you haven't opened the door to your heart and said, Lord, I want you, that's literally all it takes. The thief on the cross just said, remember me when you're in paradise, but his heart said a lot more than that. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive them. You can step into that empowered, enduring kingdom today. And if you are, take a few moments this week and be reminded that your kingdom, the kingdom you have given yourself to, will never, ever fall. Your king will never fail you. You won't always understand what's happening, but the kingdom is bigger than the certainties that we look for in life. It's from time immemorial and will reign for time immemorial. Father, thank you for the reminder of your kingdom. For those who need to step in, you're speaking to them right now. They don't need me to tell them how to pray. May they yield their heart to you and step in and follow you, because this is a relationship, Lord. It's a kingdom that we grow up in, that we live in, that we walk in, that we learn in, that we fall down and fail in sometimes, but the kingdom doesn't. And you help us up and continue us forward. And as a church, as the body of Christ, may we be reminded that we're part of something that is enduring. And we don't have to fear what the world fears. We have a king who's robed in majesty. In your name we pray, amen. Now here's how we're going to do this today. If you're at home, I need you to stand up. And I want you to be part of this. I really do believe that when we say these words out loud, that there's something about the Word of God that just impacts the environment that we're in. So I'm going to read the black. I'm going to ask you to respond firmly. And dads, let your family hear you. Moms, let your kids hear you. Let others hear you. Let's say this as we go through Psalm. This isn't Psalm 27, by the way. It's a misprint. As we go through the Psalm. So we're going to practice once because I want us to get it right, all right? So I will say, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. And you will say? Amen. All right, here we go. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Give thanks to the God of gods. Give thanks to the Lord of Lords. To him who does great wonders. Who by his understanding made the heavens. To him who alone does great wonders. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's go to the next one there. Who spread out the earth upon the waters. Who made the great lights. The sun to govern the day. The moon and stars to govern the night. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings. He remembered us in our low estate and freed us from our enemies. He gives food to every creature. And let's end it strong. Give thanks to the God of heaven. His love endures forever. Go in the grace and peace of Jesus and remember, the Lord is mightier than these. God bless you.
Thanks again for joining us on C1's podcast. If you're interested in your next step in growing your relationship with God, go to c1naz.org and click on Next Steps. There on our website, you can also find our service times and more information about our church. We'd also invite you to subscribe to our podcast so you'll always have the newest episodes. And feel free to share today's podcast with a friend who might need to hear it. Thanks again for joining us, and have a good day.